From Radio Catskills Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition, and I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being with us here tonight. We have a lot of news for you. Coming up, Governor Josh Shapiro signed an executive order yesterday that would impact data centers. Residents opposing data centers in Northeast PA are skeptical. It doesn't seem to be the action that they were looking for. Kat Bolas, environmental reporter for WVIA, joins me in the second half of the program to talk about what this order was and what the reaction has been. But first off tonight, we are starting with breaking news in Sullivan County, New York, where just this morning, the county and the New York State Department of Health announced the pending closure of the Sullivan County Adult Care Center, known as the Care Center at Sunset Lake. In a statement released early this morning, the county legislature said the decision follows the county's financial challenges and the inability to transfer operations to its consulting firm. Radio Catskill reporter Kimberly Izar is on this story. Coming up, she will talk with legislator Kat Scott and Ken Walter, co-chair of Senior Legislative Action Committee. First, here's her conversation from early this morning with Sullivan County's Communications Director, Dan Hoost.
We have some breaking news as of this morning. Sullivan County and New York State Department of Health announced that the care center at Sunset Lake will be closing. What can you tell us right now?
Well, it's, of course, a sad thing to relate, especially for the 86 employees and 93 long-term residents that we have at the care center. But the legislators and county management had looked at this for many months, I guess you could say really for years, and saw that the finances did not look like they were going to be sustainable. And so the cost of operating, maintaining, and furnishing the facility just had, well, become unsustainable. And the county is already dealing with the industry-wide problem of low reimbursement rates, seeing other costs climb for services and programs it's mandated provide, while facing significant declines in sales tax receipts, which, of course, is a major revenue generator. So it was looked at closely, and the majority of legislators said, yeah, let's talk to the Department of Health about what our closure options are with this facility. And the Department of Health has now approved the closure plan and allowed us to make the announcement, which we are doing today, to staff, residents, their families, and of course the public.
And as you mentioned, the care center currently has 93 residents and 86 employees at the center. What is the transition plan in terms of where the residents will go after the closure?
The county is working very closely with the State Department of Health and regional nursing homes to find new accommodations for our long-term clients, so ones that best fit their needs and their families' needs. And it is the county's intention that no resident is going to be left without a skilled care option, no resident at all. Every resident will have an option or options to choose from.
And, you know, the news is extremely, extremely sad, and I think also shocking to some folks. This, as you described, has been a very difficult decision that has been in the works for months. What engagement with the public has happened regarding this decision?
Well, we were not allowed to engage with anyone. We weren't allowed to tell the staff, tell the public, tell anyone until the New York State Department of Health approved the closure plan. This is something, these are guidelines that they created probably several years back when other publicly run nursing homes closed. And they said that there is to be no announcement whatsoever made until the Department of Health has had the chance to review the closure plans. And there were very specific items that we had to meet for them and provide to them. And then that just arrived within the past week, the approval for the closure plan. So that's now where we're able to engage with the public about it.
And, you know, the news comes after Infinite Care pulled out as the contractor for the county-owned nursing home. And I believe that the Infinite Care currently owes the county several million. Does this news have anything to do with the closure?
Yeah. Well, not directly, but the two issues are related. As I think you had reported before, Infinite Care's what they call Sunset Lake Consulting, that's our consultancy, had made the decision to end that consultancy at the care center. And because their leadership determined that continuing to wait on the resolution of an application to operate the care center was not optimal for them or the county. They had tried for years and there still wasn't a certificate of need, is what it's called, that was forthcoming. So without Infinite Care in the face of the spiraling costs, including a substantial expense if we had to refit the care center with new equipment and county employees to replace what Infinite Care and our staffing agencies had brought in, the county was simply not in a fiscal position to continue the operations.
And can you confirm how much exactly Infinite Care still owes the county? And is the county considering trying to get those funds returned or paid to the county?
Yeah, the county and Infinite Care are currently in active discussion about the amounts and payments that the county has coming from Infinite Care. So I don't have a specific amount at the moment that's being worked out between the county and Infinite Care, but we do intend on pursuing those payments and are hopeful that Infinite Care will make the payments. We'll be able to come to an agreement on that.
Gotcha. And in terms of the transition, what does the timeline look like in terms of when the care center would actually close?
Well, the entire process is expected to take about 90 days, but will really depend on how quickly residents can be placed in other facilities. So that's why we're saying at this point, probably around the end of the year, but that could extend into 2027. And part of the closure plan, as mandated by the State Department of Health, is to make sure that we follow up with all the relocated residents that we follow up with where they have gone for the following month after they've been placed in another facility.
You know, since the news came out about the closure this morning, just curious to hear what you're hearing from the public, employees, residents.
There's shock, sadness, disappointment, disagreement, everything that you would expect for people to say. We were not anticipating that this announcement would be greeted with cheers and applause. It is a sad thing to announce. It is not something anyone wanted to do, as our legislature chair, Nadia Reich, was quoted in the press release. It was the challenging finances and the lack of ability to transfer operations to the consulting firm that really left the legislature with no choice but to initiate this closure process. So it's going to be a painful time for quite a few people. And while county leadership and employees will work to mitigate that pain as much as possible, it's still going to be a difficult and challenging few months.
Has there been any discussion yet about what will happen to the care center building?
Not really. No, there's at this point another discussion to be had when we get closer to the actual closure of the facility. But right now it's all hands on deck to assist the employees, the residents, and their families with this transition.
Right. Dan, anything else that you want to add?
Obviously, we'll be talking about this for many more weeks and months to come.
Now, for more on this story, Kim also spoke with Kat Scott, Sullivan County legislator for District 5, someone who's been very involved with the issues around the care center at Sunset Lake from well before she even took office. Kimberly spoke with Scott earlier today.
Today is a sad day in Sullivan County. I've always valued the service provided to the care center. It's why I got involved in county work. Right now, my focus is on the 93 residents, their families, and the 86 county employees who today found out that, you know, everything has changed for them. So that's where my focus is right now, is trying to make this transition as easy for them as possible. And it really isn't going to be easy for them.
And we talked to the county's communications director, Dan Hoos, earlier this morning just about the transition plan. But can you remind us, just in terms of, you know, there's 93 residents that are currently at the care center, where do they go from here? And what's that timeline looking like?
So every part of the plan had to be approved through the Department of Health. The Department of Health oversees a transition like this extremely close. So residents will have the option to pick three choices as to where they would like to transfer to. And then the facility will work as hard as they can to find an opening in those three facilities. As of right now, there isn't a date, there isn't a deadline, because it depends on how the facility is able to find beds for the residents. So, I mean, I think anyone who puts a timeline on this is putting out an expectation. And we had to for the Department of Health, but I don't want to put out an expectation for people, because I think some of the anxiety is that there's a cutoff date. There is no cutoff date. The priority here is making sure that we find reasonable placement for these residents. And that's what will dictate how the rest of this happens.
And how much does Infinite Care play a role in this? You know, they essentially pulled out as the contractor earlier this year and still owes Sullivan County several million dollars. What role do they have in this closure?
So that contract further complicates the situation. Infinite Care was not made aware of this situation, before today. The Department of Health, when this decision was made, immediately puts a gag order on anybody who knows about this. Only the Department of Health can issue which facilities can close. So everything that happened was very tightly controlled. So Infinite Care found out today. So as we move forward with detangling the consultants from the facility, we'll find out. I'm sure they will try to be helpful with finding placement to the best of their ability. But really, the responsibility of that is on the county. It's on the facility, which is managed by the county.
And for our listeners, a gag order is essentially, you know, for folks who are involved in a legal order that restricts individuals from, you know, talking to the public or the news about what's happening.
Correct. We were restricted from speaking to anybody outside of a very small circle of people by the state. And honestly, for me, if this information was to get out, because of that gag order, we would not have been able to appropriately respond to people. It would have created a lot of panic and rumors. And the people, the residents of that facility, their families and the staff deserve better than that. And frankly, I was kind of hoping that the state would not agree to the closure, but they did.
This is kind of looking a little bit ahead, but now that the care center is closing, how does that impact the revenue picture overall for the county?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
Right.
That's still evolving. The goal is to not cut county services, and here we are today, where we have cut what I find is a very valuable county service, and that is elder care at the care center. As we get closer to developing the budget and as future numbers come in, we'll have a better idea.
Legislator, I know you mentioned at the top that your focus is really focused on managing the transition for the residents who live at the center. Anything else that you want folks to know as the transition continues the next few months?
Yeah, I want people to be very mindful of the county staff that found out today that they don't have jobs when this transition is completed. There are some very dedicated folks who have weathered so many storms at that facility. And through COVID, through the announcement of sale, through the consulting agreement, through all of the changes. And what I have seen is very caring, dedicated people who are dedicated to their residents. Right? We're a community. That's what we are. We're a community. And it was community taking care of community. So hold those people in your hearts. And when we're having conversations about this, be mindful and be respectful. Because today was somebody's worst day. And they deserved better.
And finally, one more conversation on this breaking news for some perspective from the public. Kimberly Izar checked in with Ken Walter, co-chair of SLAC, the Senior Legislative Action Committee, who says he's looking for accountability, he's looking for seniors to speak up, and he has a lot of questions.
When did they decide? What secret meeting did they have this in? Because they would have had to, if as the press release says, a majority, I don't know who that majority is. Infinite Care was hired as a consultant, which was never part of the original RFP. And I pointed it out to Mr. Daugherty that it was not part of the RFP, that they had to do a new one, and they ignored that. Infinite Care, I believe, has milked it as far as they can milk it, and they still owe us quite a sum of money, and nobody wants to talk about that.
The care center currently has 93 long-term residents and 86 employees. Have you been in contact with anyone at the care center, and kind of just what's the vibe or sentiment right now?
From my sources and third hand, the employees are upset and shook up. As far as the 93 people, I did a quick AI request of the capacities of Achieve and Roscoe Nursing Home. And between the two of them, they may have 20 beds available, which I know they won't want to keep all of them full because you got to have, you know, a little leeway for whatever purpose. So what do we do with the balance? What do we do with the 73? Where do they go? To me, there's a certain group there that have both in the county manager's office, I feel, and some legislators have no heart.
And, you know, in a statement earlier, County Legislature Chair Nadia Raj said that the decision is because of the county's financial challenges and the inability to transfer operations to its consulting firm. But as you said, Infinite Care still owes the county, you know, several million dollars.
8 to 10.
Who do you think is at fault here?
The economic one is a red herring. It's a bogus. We've usually had to kick in around maybe $2 million a year to keep the place going. But we got people on the board that think the airport is more important, even if we have to subsidize it. So who's at fault? The county manager is definitely at fault because he is the head of the fund that it's under.
Ken, you're the co-chair of SLAC, the Senior Legislative Action Committee in Sullivan County. What else do you think is important for people to know right now?
We are becoming a bigger medical desert with what Garda has done, what's happening just in healthcare alone. And this is going to be just another one of those things. I have no idea where these people are going and how far people are going to have to travel to see them. What are seniors? They need to stand up and start to yell and scream. They need to get out to these meetings and ask questions and never cower to these elected officials. You, as a citizen, have the rights they don't. Open government favors us as people, not them as elected.
Huge thanks to Kimberly Izar for all of this reporting today. And, of course, we will have more on the story as it continues to develop.
You are listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
It is The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. And we have big news out of Pennsylvania because yesterday, Governor Josh Shapiro signed an executive order about data centers, and specifically to force data center developers to comply with standards if they're going to move forward. This is a bit more of a clearer step for Governor Shapiro to help understand why he made this decision and what it will do or possibly will do or won't do. I am now ready to talk to you. Hold on. I am glad.
Yeah, no problem.
I am glad to have with me environmental reporter for WVIA, Kat Bolus, joining us here on The Local Edition. Kat, welcome back to Radio Catskill.
Hi, thank you again for having me. I always enjoy my conversations with Radio Catskill.
Before we actually talk about what this executive order means, can we talk about his journey to this point? You know, back in February, we aired his big speech rolling out the budget and his agenda for the year live here on Radio Catskill. And he was talking about data centers back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So during his budget address, one of the things that he announced were his grid standards. So GRID stands for Governor's Responsible Infrastructure Development, and they are specific standards that have to do with the data center industry. And there's four kind of key areas within GRID standards that are kind of meant to protect Pennsylvanians and Pennsylvania. In May, he finalized the standards. And then at the end of June, the Pennsylvania House passed a bill to codify GRID, you know, into law, but the Senate has yet to pass it, which is kind of what led us to the executive order yesterday.
So he's signing an executive order before this can pass in the Senate. It basically, is that an acknowledgement of how quickly things are moving?
I mean, he did. He said during, you know, Shapiro made a speech yesterday before he signed the executive order, and he said that the Senate's inaction kind of left him with no other option than the executive order. You know, he mentioned that there's a lot of predatory developers and bad proposals that are kind of inundating our communities in Pennsylvania, especially kind of our small townships and boroughs and our just smaller municipalities that are now forced to zone for an industry that they may not have heard of until maybe 6 months ago to a year. So I think that's kind of where all this is, where all this comes from. I mean, it's been a community uprising, and I don't use uprising in a negative way at all. You know, I've been reporting in Northeast Pennsylvania for almost 15 years at this point, and it's kind of the issue that I've seen people the most united, the most educated, and kind of the most worried about. And when you have that happening across the state, because it isn't just Northeast and North Central Pennsylvania, you know, these data center proposals are happening down near Philadelphia and out near Pittsburgh and kind of in our more rural areas too, especially with, you know, the access to kind of large swaths of farmland. You know, at some point it makes it to the governor's office.
We've been talking to you right along about the data center development in Archbald, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. north of the Scranton metropolitan area there. And the governor actually mentioned Archbald in his statement yesterday.
Yeah, so he visited Archbald in late May. It was somewhat of a surprise visit. He met with a very small group of Archbald residents, actually in neighboring Blakely at State Representative Kyle Mullen's office. He was there probably for about an hour or two. But before he met with the residents, he visited Ed Staback Park, which is kind of this very beautiful park that's really kind of in the middle of Archbald. And there's a developer who wants to build data centers kind of surrounding this park. And then there's another developer who wants to build like a power plant next to the park. So, you know, the governor said, you know, he stood in one of the baseball fields and he thought about, you know, if his kids were playing sports there and if there was this data center humming in the background. And then he listened to residents kind of talk about what they're dealing with. Because in Archibald, you know, there's no end users. No one knows who's going to operate these data centers that are coming in. You know, it's the developers are mostly from out of town. They submit these plans. You know, I always like to say the borough's about the size of Manhattan and New York City, and they want to build 51 data centers the size of Walmart's there. And this is a small river valley town. There's mountains on either side. You know, it's beautiful in the fall when the fall foliage changes. And if there were to be six data centers with kind of a seventh proposal kind of lurking on the horizon, it would fundamentally change the borough. And so he went there and he listened to residents, and you know, they're kind of lukewarm on the visit, but you know, he mentioned in his speech yesterday that was one of the reasons for kind of forcing his hand on this executive order, especially because, you know, the developers there, there's no Amazon that we know of, or Meta, or, you know, any of these big tech companies. It's just kind of like developers from out of state with out of state lawyers coming in.
Mm-hmm. And you say he got a lukewarm reception in Archbald in May, but now that he's made this executive order, he's actually taking some action here. How are they feeling about him now?
Still kind of lukewarm. In Archbald, one of the groups that popped up is the Stop Archbald Data Centers group. And they've kind of, they've gone statewide, they've gone nationwide. People kind of look to them as a source for how you could kind of work to fight and regulate the data center industry within a small community. And I spoke with one of the co-founders, Tammy Misevich Healy, and she's upset. You know, she wishes that the governor would just pass a moratorium or would sign a moratorium, you know, into, you know, through an executive order. They want a full stop on data center development because they believe that the communities just need time to catch up with this gold rush, you know, of a development that's kind of inundating Northeast and North Central Pennsylvania. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they're skeptical of the grid standards and the executive order, and they really just want a moratorium, you know, like which was passed in New York State, our neighbor.
Yes, they're looking at that example. So that's a reaction from the folks on the ground potentially being impacted by this type of development, and that's their reaction to this executive order. What about the reaction of lawmakers in Harrisburg?
You know, it was interesting. You know, some lawmakers were on board with it. You know, the State Senate Democratic leader Jay Costa, you know, he credited the governor for, you know, quote, stepping up and demonstrating real common sense leadership as Senate Republicans fail to engage in this critical conversation. You know, they seem to be blaming the Senate Republicans for you know, not voting on grid standards. But there are, you know, a lot of Senate Republicans that are, or even just state elected Republicans that are, you know, opposed to this industry. State Senator Rosemary Brown, her district includes Archbald. She wants a moratorium. There's a state representative down in Luzerne County, Jamie Walsh. He's very anti, data center. So it's kind of becoming a political issue from the local to the state in Pennsylvania.
Now that this executive order has been signed, it's breaking news, essentially just happened yesterday. What will you be looking for next as you continue to cover this issue?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in how this is going to impact the current proposals in play. One of the things with the grid standards is, you know, you're not going to get DEP permits if you don't sign on to the grid standards. And any big development, and DEP is the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, and any big, project, any big massive industrial construction project needs some sort of DEP permit. So I'm interested to see how that changes things, if we're going to start seeing kind of these more like on the fringe proposals maybe back out of their commitment. But I also think that this is going to end up going to the courts, which is where I feel like a lot of these data center proposals are going to end up regardless. I think a lot of them are going to end up being decided by judges in courtrooms. And I think this executive order might find its way there as well. So we will definitely be following up on that.
Well, Kat Bolus, I thank you so much for being on top of the story and taking the time once again to break it down for our listeners here on Radio Catskill. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Anytime.
Kat Bolus is environmental reporter for WVIA. Her work is up at WVIA.org. It's WVIA.org. Folks impacted by data center development in Northeast PA are continuing to stay engaged on this issue. In Wayne County, the Clinton Township Joint Supervisors and Planning Commission public hearing on the proposed data center by Lind Corporation. That hearing's happening on Saturday. It's 10 a.m. at the Wayne County Park Street Complex in Honesdale. And that is it for this program. I'm so glad you've been here with me. I'm Jason Dole. I'll be back to bring you more Local Edition tomorrow. Stay with us. Coming up at 7, we got Retro Cocktail Hour, but first, it's The Daily. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture.